God. Now you should have turned by now to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to read the chapter together and then bring the word that God has laid upon my heart for this evening. The word of God says in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." Amen, and we'll end our reading at the end of the chapter 6 of Isaiah's prophecy, and with the word open before us, let's briefly unite again in a word of prayer. Our loving Father, we now come to the preaching of thy word. What a thrill it is, Lord, to end this year preaching the word, being instant in season and out of season. Lord, we pray that as the world will welcome in this new year in their sinful ways, Lord, we thank you for thy people who have gathered together around an iPhone, a computer screen, a laptop, a smart television. And Lord, they're worshipping thee. And we bless thee, O God, that we can say with John Newton, 'Tis grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. We thank thee for the leading of God. And Lord, thy hand upon us. And now as we come to the preaching of thy word, give us an alert mind, an open heart, a submissive will, and fill now this preacher with God the Holy Ghost. Grant, Lord, a baptism of thy Spirit, I pray. For I ask this in the name of Christ my Saviour. Amen and amen. Every year brings its changes. For some watching this broadcast, I do not need to tell you that, because 2020 has most surely brought great changes into your life, into your home, into your family. For some, loved ones have been taken from you by death. They've gone on to be with Christ, and thank God for them, that is far better. For others, changes have taken place with the addition of new family members, or the news that 2021 is going to see to the enlarging of the brood or the family. Some children have left nursery school and have made their way into primary school in the year 2020. And others have moved up into secondary education, whilst for others, they have bidden their school days farewell, a glad farewell at that, and have taken up their employment during the last year. Changes have come about in 2020 for some, with a deterioration in their health. There has been a steady decline, and yet for others, 2020 has seen better news on the health front, a rallying, as it were, with regard to your own personal health. Some have changed jobs, whilst for others they come to the end of this old year, and they wonder whether they will even have a job to go to in 2021. And so it's no exaggeration to say that every year brings its varied changes and its many changes in our own personal lives. But never has there been a year like the year that we have just gone through, at least in my short lifetime. We can all remember where we were and what we were doing on Tuesday the 24th of March 2020, when the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson addressed the British public from 10 Downing Street. The order he issued that night was simple: stay at home. Since then, we as a nation have gone through stages of full lockdown, a partial easing of restrictions, the reintroduction of a partial lockdown, the partial reopening of society, and now we find ourselves presently at an 8 p.m. night curfew, all in the fight against COVID-19. What a year 2020 has been. The changes have been many. The way that we interact with each other has changed. The safety procedures that we now adhere to and adopt, that have become part and parcel of our day-to-day living, has also changed. The way we conduct worship within the house of God has changed. The manner in which pastoral help has been administered and is being administered has changed. All these things have changed in 2020. Certainly, 2020 has been a year of tremendous change. I'm sure the year in which King Uzziah died was a year for Isaiah, like 2020 has been for us. It was a year of immense seismic change within the nation of Israel, a time of, we would say, political disruption and upheaval within the country. That which seemed to be so permanent and enduring was found to be temporary and fleeting. The changes that occurred in that particular year obviously left a great impression upon the mind and the heart of Isaiah, for he recalls vividly what happened in that particular year. He remembers the shock waves that passed through the nation in his own life when news of Uzziah's death was announced from the royal palace. However, there was another event in that particular year that would leave a deeper impression upon the mind and upon the heart of the prophet. That event, Isaiah recalls in this sixth chapter of his own prophecy. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. This year was the year that Uzziah saw the Lord. And it's this event in the temple that surpassed all other events that happened within the nation in that particular year. As great and as momentous as the death of an earthly king was, this event took precedence in the mind of Isaiah the prophet. It was to this account in Isaiah chapter 6 that the Lord directed me to at the beginning of the month of December, that he would have me to preach upon in this particular watch night service. As I began to look again at the familiar words and this familiar chapter of God's Word, the Lord started to show me things within the chapter that remain unchanged unto this day, even though this world, since the day of Uzziah and Isaiah, has brought great changes. Despite that being the case, there are certain things in this chapter that remain the same as when this event took place. It is these unchangeable things that I want the Lord to focus our minds upon as we say goodbye to an old year. An old year that has brought so many changes into our lives, our homes, and into the ministry of God's precious word. I believe in an ever-changing world. There is profit for us at the end of this year to think about those things that neither the death of Uzziah the king in Isaiah's day or COVID-19 in our day has changed. So tonight in this watch night service, I want us to consider together things that never change. Things that never change. Now from this account in Isaiah's prophecy, the first thing that I want you to notice that never changes is that heaven's potentate never changes. Heaven's potentate never changes. Now there's a word that needs a little bit of explaining, especially since it's coming up to midnight on the 31st of December before you would drift off to sleep. Now the word potentate is a Bible word and it makes an appearance only once in Holy Scripture. That appearance is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 if you want to turn there. Let me read from the verse 13, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse 13, to give you the context in which we find the word. The Apostle Paul, writing here to Timothy, his son in the faith, he says, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul calls him the blessed and only potentate in the verse number 15. The word potentate, it translates to mean prince, ruler, or chief officer. As a word, it speaks about God who is the ruler over all things. God who is the mighty ruler over the entire created universe. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, this blessed and only potentate of whom Paul writes of here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 15, that Isaiah saw in the temple in the year that King Uzziah died. Now how do I know that? Well, I know that because of what we read in John chapter 12 and the verse number 41. And so as you start to make your way back to Isaiah, stop there at John chapter 12. And we'll read from the verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, speaking of Christ, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah's, the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Elias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Whose glory? Christ's glory. The one spoken of in verse 37. The one whom the people did not believe in. Those who were never converted or healed by him. It says here that these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. The glory of Christ. And so Christ is the one whom Isaiah saw here in Isaiah and the chapter number 6. Now what exactly did Isaiah see when he saw the glory of Christ? Well, he saw, according to Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now don't forget the context in which Isaiah is given this vision. Uzziah, the king, has just died. He died of leprosy. He did that which God forbid him, and God smote him with leprosy, and he died eventually of his leprosy. And this is the context in which Isaiah sees this vision of a throne. A throne, not an earthly throne, but a throne that is in heaven. You see, while the throne on earth had been vacated by King Uzziah, Uzziah was given a sight of a throne, the throne of heaven, that was occupied not by a mortal king like Uzziah, but by the King Immortal, the only true and the only wise God. It was that sight of the reigning king that steadied God's servant. It was that sight of the king immortal upon the throne that banished Isaiah's fears. It was the sight of the glory of Christ reigning and ruling over the affairs of all men that quelled the prophet's anxiety in a year of seismic change within his particular nation. As he looked away from earth's tottering thrones, and he fixed his eyes upon heaven's eternal throne, Isaiah was assured that God was still on the throne of the universe, and that the scepter was held fast in his hands, and that from the throne, God was continuing to direct all things after the counsel of his own will. If the chorus had have been penned, Isaiah may well have sung, God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. While King Uzziah was replaced by his son Jotham, the king that Isaiah saw in the temple had no need for a successor. You see, no line of succession is required for heaven's king, because he is the King Eternal. As 1 Timothy 1 verse 17 puts it, he is the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Above the ever-changing world, where kings and queens come and go, where royal households rise and fall, where governments are elected and then deselected, thank God, above all that changes in this world, there is an ever-changing God. Above this world, there reigns the King of Kings, who is invested with perfect wisdom and with inimitable power. He is the immutable God, the God who cannot and will not change. Matthew Henry wrote about this particular passage, Israel's king dies, but Israel's God still lives. From the mortality of great and good men, we should take occasion with the eye of faith to look up to the King Eternal, Immortal, Invisible. Israel's king dies, but Israel's God still lives. My brethren and sisters, is that not something for us to focus our minds upon as we leave an old year with all of its sorrows and enter a new year with all of its uncertainties, to think that tonight there reigns a king, that there's a king whose rule and reign is an everlasting reign and rule, a king who will never vacate the throne until the day that he comes to gather his loved ones home. What glorious thoughts there are for us tonight just to ponder in the closing moments of an old year. As we consider heaven's potentate, we can meditate on the supremacy of the potentate's reign. Because we see here that he's on a throne that is high and lifted up. You see, his throne is above all the thrones and above all the dynasties of the earth. Let it comfort your heart, child of God. He rules over heaven. He rules over earth. He rules over angels. He rules over monarchs. He rules over events. He rules over the great. He rules over the small in this world. He rules over all. The potentate's supremacy. Think of the majesty of the potentate's reign. Think of his majesty. He sits on the throne. He commands all things from that throne for his glory and for our good. Oh, the majesty of his reign. Think about the durability of the potentate's reign. Because he rules over all that which is present, as well as that which is yet future. And when we have left this scene of time ourselves, he will still be reigning until time is no more, and then he will reign forever and forever, because the kingdoms of this world will have then become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Think of the serenity of the potentate's reign. Beneath him is storm. Beneath him is tumult. Beneath him is chaos. But he sits above all in quiet serenity, in unruffled tranquility, as the Prince of Peace. Think of the sanctity of the potentate's reign. Because the six winged seraphim around the throne, they cry, holy, holy, holy. Holiness governs and regulates the reign of heaven's potentate. Tonight, there is a king upon the throne of this universe whose reign is marked by supremacy, majesty, durability, serenity, sanctity. And from that throne, no power or principle will be able to dislodge him. Above this ever-changing world, there is a king, a potentate, who changes not. Rest your soul on that truth, brother. Allow that truth to hush all those worries, sister. And enter 2021 knowing that God is still on the throne. It's something that never changes. Heaven's potentate never changes. But from this account in Isaiah chapter 6, there is a second thing that we find never changes. The second thing that never changes is that humanity's problem never changes. Humanity's problem never changes. Now we get a glimpse of what society was like in the days of Isaiah from a number of verses within the chapter. I want you to note the verse number 5. There we read, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It is the words, "I dwell," Isaiah speaking here, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips," that gives us an insight, brief though it may be, of the type of world that Isaiah lived in. Isaiah lived in a people who were marked out by their unclean lips. Now our lips and what we say are indicative of character. They reveal the true state of our hearts. Our speech is a symbol. It is an expression of our lives. And there are many sins that are committed by the lip. The sin of profanity. The sin of blasphemy. The sin of lying. The sin of boasting. The sin of slander. The sin of gossip. The sin of backbiting. The sin of defamation of character. The sin of telling lies. The sin of the lip. These people had unclean lips. And they had unclean lips when they came to worship God. You see, they were apt to draw near to God with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. Isaiah chapter 29 and the verse number 13. If you want to turn there, Isaiah chapter 29 and the verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man." Unclean lips, even in worship. And really, is it any different in our generation, brethren and sisters? God's people, they're happy to give lip service to Him. But really, their hearts are far, far from God. We sing, "I surrender all." But do we? Really? We ask God in prayer to deliver us from sin. And then we place it before our very eyes. We make vows to God when our backs are up against the wall. But whenever the pressure is lifted, we go back on our word and we forget to pay our vows. And surely our society is a society marked by unclean lips. Think of the profanity and the blasphemy. Think of the lies that are told. Think of the boasting of men and how they pride themselves. Think of slander and the gossip and backbiting and the defamation of character. It so often happens within our nation. Has anything changed? No, because humanity's problem hasn't changed. Look then at the verses 9 and 10, because these verses also give us a glimpse of what society was like in the days of Isaiah. Now remember that these words in the verse number 9 and 10 are words that God speaks to Isaiah as he commissions him. And he said, "Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." Here were a people who understood and perceived not the truth of God that Isaiah was going to preach. They had heavy ears, and they had closed eyes to the truth. They were still in their sin, because we read that they were not yet converted. They had not yet been healed of the spiritual malady of sin. Such had not taken place yet within their lives. This is why Isaiah is going to go forth to preach the gospel, to bring the truth and the good news of the gospel to such a people, so that they would be converted, that they would be healed. And so, as Isaiah looked out at society at large, as he looked out at the general populace, he understood that very few were converted, very few had been healed of their sin. These were a sinful people. These were a people who wanted nothing to do with the Word of God, or with the truth of God, or with the gospel of God whatsoever. And I asked you, has anything changed since the days of Isaiah? No. Men and women are still in their sin. They love their sin. They still cling to their sin. They still practice their sin. Today, the general public has no time for the Word of God, no time for the gospel, no time for the gospel preacher. Why? The reason is humanity's problem never changes. All are born under sin, and all are born in sin. Pandemics, national disasters, family tragedies, in and of themselves, will never move a person from their sin. Rather, it takes the supernatural work of God, the Holy Ghost within the soul, to cause the sinner to detest their sin, to flee from their sin, and to be converted, to be born again. The problem with humanity tonight is not political in nature. It's not economical in nature. It's not social in nature. It's not psychological in nature. Humanity's problem is spiritual. It's a spiritual problem, brethren and sisters. Mankind has a spiritual problem. Sin has separated humanity from deity. And thus men and women and boys and girls need to be reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ. Don't be thinking because the human race has become more educated that the core problem has disappeared. Sin still destroys marriages. Sin still wrecks families. Sin still damages the body. Sin still pollutes the mind. Sin still masters the sinner's will. Sin still darkens the sinner's mind. Sin still plagues the sinner's soul. Sin still hardens the sinner's heart. Sin is still that which defiles, destroys, deludes, and damns the sinner. Maybe you're watching tonight, and you're still in your sin. Whilst in the past you've blamed everyone and everyone else for the mess that you find yourself in, you now have come to the realization that it is what you are, a sinner, that has brought havoc and chaos into your life, into your home, and into your marriage. Why not? Listen, why not in the last minute of 2020, why not repent of your sin, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and begin 2021 as a child of God? Humanity's problem hasn't changed. Sin. Having noted that heaven's potentate never changes and humanity's problem never changes, thirdly, finally, and briefly, from this account I see that the household of faith's purpose never changes. Let me repeat that. The household of faith's purpose never changes. All who enter the family of God by the new birth belong to the household of faith. It is a term used by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6 verse 10. What is the unchanging purpose of all who belong to the household of faith? Our purpose is to bring God's message, a message centered on heaven's potentate, to all in the human race who are plagued by the problem of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Isaiah came to understand this unchanging purpose when God spoke to him in the temple that day. Look there at the verse 8 and 9. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, having been cleansed of his sin, and touched by a live coal from off the altar, Isaiah was now ready to be sent by God to a people with God's message. You know, when we think of all that happened to Isaiah on this occasion, before he re-engaged in public ministry, we have to ask ourselves the question, have we seen the Lord as Isaiah saw him? Have we been touched by God as he was touched? Have we heard from God as Isaiah heard from God? Have we been commissioned by God as Isaiah was commissioned? When all of these things happen to us, such can only but lead to a fruitful and a faithful ministry. To those who are engaged in God's work presently, or hope to be engaged in God's work maybe in the future, let me ask you, is all the preparatory work done, brother? Is the heart cleansed, sister? Have the idols in your life been torn from the throne of your heart? Is Christ enthroned? Has a vision of God consumed you? Are you ready to go where he sends you? Are you willing to do what he commands you? You know, many of God's people, they will say, here's my money. Another one will say, here's my spare time. But very few ever say, here am I. Here am I. I wonder, will you leave yourself wholly at God's disposal this year? Will you say, as Isaiah said, here am I, send me? Brother, sister, whatever you're involved in, and whatever else you would involve yourself in, don't forget the purpose, why God made you, and why God saved you. God created you, and God converted you so that you would carry the gospel into this world. Think of it. The triune God, the us of Isaiah 6 verse 8, wants to send you and me into the world to tell others of Jesus the mighty to save. What greater purpose could we have than that? To make Christ known. That's your calling. That's my calling. That's every Christian's calling. This purpose will never change for those who belong to the household of faith until either we are taken in death or we're taken up to meet the Lord in the air. Because humanity's problem hasn't changed, therefore our purpose hasn't changed. It is for us to take the gospel to a lost and to a dying world. And so let us go in to 2021 with these unchangeable truths fixed in our minds and in our hearts, that in heaven there is an unchangeable potentate in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will enable us who belong to the household of faith to fulfill our unchangeable purpose in making Christ and his gospel known, because he is the answer to humanity's unchangeable problem, the problem of sin. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. May 2021, the year 2021, may it be the year that we see the Lord at work in a manner that we would have to pen in the annals of church history. It was in 2021 that the church and the community saw God at work. May God bless this word to your heart for his name's sake. Amen and amen. Before we pray, let me just wish you God's richest blessing for the year that we have now entered. I want to thank you for joining with us. Trust that the word has been a blessing. Make known to us where you're watching in from just in these final moments. We'd love to know that you've been watching in. Thank you for joining with us. And I trust that the Lord will bless you and your family in the year that lies ahead. And may this be a great year for the Church of Jesus Christ. And may God help us to be faithful, even unto death. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our loving Father, we thank thee for this tremendous year in the life of Isaiah the prophet, and all that he beheld in that year, a year of great change for him and his nation. And yet above that, he saw his Lord, and he saw his God. He saw the glory of God. Oh, to see thy glory, and to see thy power within the sanctuary. That's our cry. That's our desire. That's our longing. Oh, bless us in this year. We cry to thee for deliverance. We place not our trust in vaccinations or in men. Oh God, we place our trust in our God. In a year when many long for vaccination, we pray that they would long for salvation. For that will be the answer to the true problem of humanity. And so answer prayer. Bless the pulpit ministry in Port Lynn and every faithful servant of thine, wherever they are found. May they know great help and enabling. And may the good hand of God be upon the work of God. And may the gospel resonate, and may it become contagious even in this new year. Answer prayer, and may thy blessing, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide upon thy blood-bought children, both now and until the day that all shadows flee away. Answer prayer. We offer our petitions in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May the Lord bless you, and may you have a happy and a blessed new year. Thank you.